Welcome to the podcast where relationships, confidence, and determination all converge into an amazing heartfelt experience. This is Speaking from the Heart.
Welcome back to episode number 106 of Speaking from the Heart. Today we have Juanita Gaynor with us, and Juanita is a triumphant success mindset coach, empowerment speaker, and accomplished entrepreneur hailing from New Jersey, right next to me here in Pennsylvania. And has risen above the shadows of childhood trauma, emerging even stronger. Armed with degrees in business administration and accounting, she leads five thriving ventures, such as EABJ Consulting and Event Management, Elite Financial Management, Restored to Life Ministries, Stella Publications LLC, and Stella Notary Services. Beyond her entrepreneurial proudness, Juanita is a versatile artist with a flair for music and culinary arts. She hosts the Moving Pastor radio show and co-authored empowering books like I Am Who God Says I Am, 100 Words of Inspiration, and When a Woman Prays. Juanita's life mission is to shine as a beacon of purpose, attributing her achievements to unwavering faith and an open heart. With global expansion plans for her enterprises, she is poised to continue her inspiring journey, leaving a positive mark on the world. And I have to say, with our conversation that we have today, she leaves not just a positive mark, not only the things that she's achieving, not only rub off on me being an entrepreneur starting out myself, but I think you'll find that the backstory that Juanita brings is not only one of strength, but also determination, one of the values of even my business for that matter, that push us forward. It allows us to grow and not be held back anymore from the undeniable opportunities that we have, not only to leave a mark on this world, not only to help others, but you'll see with Juanita and what she's all about, that it makes such a big difference in being able to overcome all the traumas that might ever face us in our lives. But with that, let's go to the episode. All right, we're here with Juanita Gaynor. Juanita, thanks for sharing your heart with us today. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing swell, and I really am excited that you're a part of the show today. One of the coolest things about you that I haven't had on the show yet is just because of the things that I had just introduced the audience to about you is that you have a unique story in itself. But before we get into that, I really want to talk a little bit about your background. And what caught my eye right away, knowing that I have two master's degrees myself. I have business administration and public administration. But I noticed you have your degrees in business administration, woohoo, and accounting. Can you talk a little bit about what got you into education to learn a little bit before you started going into this impressive career stance that you've had?
Absolutely. I have been always an avid learner. Even as I was younger, I was what they was considered very bright. So they had to do a lot to keep me with attention and keep going and things. And so I remember when I was about 9 or 10, we was living with my aunt in Boston, and she had property. So I was her accountant. I would collect the rent, I would keep the ledgers and things, and just making sure bills or expenses, anything that had to do with any of the properties, I was the manager of it at 9. And so I said, hey, I can make money doing this. But I wasn't a school person. I didn't like how people told me what to do. So I always knew I would be an entrepreneur. In my senior year, I was working for Bear Stearns. Bear Stearns doesn't exist in the state that we know it. And I remember one of my mentors said, I want you to go to school to get your degree. He said, you may not need it right now, but you may in the future, and it will open up additional doors. I was like, okay, fine. But I didn't. I waited. It was like 3 or 4 years before I got my first degree because I wanted to open a business and I was going for a business loan. And the banker, he was great. He gave me great new information. He says, but I want you to do this. Go to school. He says, even if you get your associates, it will carry you very far and it will open doors for you more so than just a high school diploma. And he was right. I got into companies. I have worked for some of the largest Fortune 500 companies. I worked for Cablevision. Now, Cablevision was what Xfinity is now.
Yeah.
So I was on the team that was working on the transition and the buyout when Cablevision was bought out to become Comcast.
Wow. And Cablevision was like it. Like right. You wanted to be there.
Yes.
And I remember that growing up, like I always started like Cablevision. What is that? Yeah.
I worked for 9X, which was a part of the Baby Bells. So one of the original Baby Bells that is now, of course, Verizon. So you'll switch over to Bell Atlantic. Worked for Bear Stearns. Worked for Liberty Mutual. Worked for Sunoco. These are the doors that education had opened for me. And it gave me a sense of structure. It gave me a sense of how things worked in. So when I started my own businesses and was working and had employees myself at the height of my event management company, I knew what expenses to put in. I knew how to treat my employees. I knew what to include with that, how to deal with clients, how to make sure that bills was paid, how to deal with state and local government when it came to ordinances and permits and things like that. I was able to use the degree not only to get connections, but to see the actual textbook in working order.
With that much that you've done to be able to see that bigger picture, there has to be something that drove you, Juanita, to really work hard. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your childhood, because there's always those roots that makes us become stronger and maybe even motivate us to become the best versions of ourselves, which I consistently talk about.
Right. So as a child, I am a survivor of childhood sexual and physical abuse. At the age of 6, my mother was a heroin addict. And at the age of 5, 6, she started using me as her currency for her drugs.
Oh my God.
So that is where the abuse came in. And then she was also very physically abusive. So that continued on until she had left us at a friend's house one day. And then her mom found us. And that's how we ended up in Boston. For the sexual abuse, you get into the church. Let's not even get into the church.
Yeah, but that's a big topic in itself. But I understand where you're talking about there.
So a lot of additional abuse carried on until one day I just was tired of it. And I threatened to start talking and telling people. So it stopped. And the problem for me was, is like not having control of situations, not being able to tell people to stop. And I remember there was an episode of Oprah that was talking about childhood abuse and sexual abuse, whatever. And when they were going and people were talking against it, and I'm like, what do you mean? Because this was an everyday occurrence in my life for many, many years. So I didn't know it wasn't normal. So you're listening to these famous people say that it's not normal, that things shouldn't happen to you. Now my identity is questioned. Who am I? What am I doing? I didn't deal with it immediately. I was at that time modeling and I was doing event management with a girlfriend of mine's, and I decided, you know what? I'll just start a business. And my event management company is what I call a trauma business because I could control the outcome. When you look at any type, not all event planners, but most of us come from a life of trauma. And when you look at these perfectly curated events that goes off without a hitch, that the client doesn't know that there's hiccups, that is because that's situations we can control to within a minute millisecond. We pull the shots, we call the shots, and no one else can tell us not to. The people who are reporting to us, you do as we say, or you can get the step in. And that is where a lot of my keeping it maintained, because I could control everything that's going on. And so I'm like, okay, fine. And I did that for a long time, but I still wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Then had a graphic design company for a while, and I was great with that and doing a lot of work with the ministry, and I wasn't happy with that. And so I let that one fall off. But the event management company, I would get back to it. And when I moved to Georgia finally and started therapy, I no longer wanted to do the event management anymore. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand why at the time. So fast forward to the accounting firm. That came out of just basic, everything I did had to do with money. as I've gone through this initial stage of healing, I was working with other women and other small businesses who wasn't having great foundational bases, and they didn't have the money per se to go to the big five accounting firms or find reputable accountants or really could speak to them in the language in which they understand. And that is how the accounting company came about, to help small businesses get greater foundations and stop being audited and sued. Because I don't like problems with the IRS. Me and the IRS are friends.
Yes, we're all friends here. Right, Internal Revenue Service?
Yes,
do you hear
friends.
Me? Vonita and I are friends. Yes.
And I don't like anybody. Because my theory is like, once you get involved with them, they never leave you alone. So just do it right the first time.
Which I find it funny, you just mentioning that, which I have this follow-up, because as you were even sharing where all these business ideas came from, there's just this one critical point that made me think, is it because you were starting these businesses that you really wanted to make a difference with other people so that they didn't have to go through the same things that you were going through growing up? Was that your motivation, or was it something more?
That was one of the motivations. That was the ultimate motivation for me, because again, I could control that feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I hadn't gone through that full healing process, I knew that if I'm doing this, when you're doing somebody's event, you're making a dream happen. You are bringing to life a dream of a little girl who's had since she was a little girl. When you do that 50th birthday party, you're giving someone something that they may have never thought they would have. You're helping their children give them something that they may have never had. When you're doing corporate events or whatever, you're helping the employers do something for their employees. So it's always about helping something on some level. Even in all of the other businesses, it's making sure that somebody's whole. And the thing is, we're trying to make other people whole because we're not whole. We think we'll feel better by making other people whole.
Yeah, that is so deep, because putting myself into other people's shoes might be like, no, you shouldn't do that. And there's a lot of culture behind that that says, well, I'm trying to build myself. You need to stay out of this. But what I think some people forget is that we need to build upon some of the other things that other people have done, because they have been doing something really good. And it doesn't mean that you can't ask for help. And sometimes asking for help is the most vulnerable thing in itself to be able to get to that point. And I know that's not exactly what you're saying, but Well, I'm glad we're on the same page, Ronita, because I was worried for a second, like, am I on the same page with building what I want to build with you or even somebody else? Because we were literally just talking about this, because in your style of working with other people, you're getting into the trauma. You're getting into what they have been through. And my sort of style is finishing, and that's really helping people get to where they want to achieve with their goals after they get through a lot of those things, which doesn't mean, though, that we're not done processing what some of those things are, because those can matriculate above the surface. So going into what you do with your consulting, tell us a little bit about what drives you every day to help someone see that opportunity in themselves. I always like to call it the best version of themselves, because I think that we all have that capability inside of our hearts to be able to be the best version of who we are. But I don't know, I always find it interesting that people have different perspectives, especially that are on the show, and I'm curious what your perspective is on that.
Sure. My perspective with my consulting and coaching company, my perspective is that I want people to actually dig down and identify what really is the problem that's holding them back. What's holding them back from asking for the raise? What's holding them back for getting to the next level? And it's always surrounded about success and money, if you really think about it. Trauma always affects those. And I was able to help people, especially women, identify what those were when I was able to identify what they were for me. When it came to success, I remember I was in the third or fourth grade, and I used to have this book that I used to sketch and different designs and dresses and things like that. I used to sketch really great. And I remember the teacher got upset with me or whatever, and she literally ripped my book up and she threw it in the trash.
Oh my gosh.
And I never sketched again. I've never sketched. And what that taught me at that time is that success was never supposed to be mine. I was only supposed to go to a certain level. And if I went beyond that certain level, somebody was going to snatch it away and take it away. And then it's like Candyland and you're back to the beginning. And when I think about money and actually charging what I was worth and making sure I did that, what used to happen is because I came from a trauma environment, my money was always someone else's. It was never my own. So I would only make enough just to cover the bare minimum. I would never go any higher because knowing if I went any higher, then people would have their hands out for more. And so once I've identified that and realized that that was why I didn't reach the stars, that was why that even though I have successful businesses, they should be 10 times more successful or making 10 times as more than what they're doing right now. And I identified that, I realized that there's a ton of people who are having those exact same issues. But some of them don't understand why they can't go in and say, listen, I want the $20,000 raise, or I'm going over to ABC company because they're giving it to me. They're willing to stay in a beaten down position. And that's because they haven't identified that trauma that happened that made them believe that they couldn't ask for no more, that they were only limited to what they were getting.
Do you think people hold back from getting that extra raise or maybe even achieving that business that they always wanted to open or even getting to a venture that they never thought they could not do because of trauma? Or maybe because of some sort of thought that was deeply seated when they were a child and they just never acted on it? Or do you think it's something more than that, that you have seen in your clients?
Well, trauma presents in different ways. And I know when people think about trauma, they think about physical. That's the first thing that they go to. A lot of trauma that happens with young people, especially children, is emotional. I'll give an example. If mommy and daddy, all they ever do is work and they never pay you any attention, they never give you any time, you have now created a correlation, a bad correlation between success, getting success and getting attention. So your thing is like, I'm never going to climb that high in the company because I'm going to neglect my children and I don't want to neglect my children. It doesn't matter what you want to achieve, or if they want to, you're hunted by that because all you've ever seen aligned with that success is abandonment, is neglect. And parents don't do it intentionally. They're trying to make ends meet. But as a child, that's what you see. And so they're carrying that emotional trauma and they never speak it because they don't know what it is. Or the child who sees their parents, they may have money, but they never spend it. They never do anything with it. They're extremely hardcore. They don't do anything, whatever. So you programming yourself like, well, what's the point of making all that money? I can't use it anyway. So why do I need to ask? And so a lot of those times, a lot of the traumas are emotional and mental traumas that happen throughout the course of their life. Even watching another family do better than you. Because now you feel that you've been left out of the loop or something and that you must not be good enough or your family must not be good enough to obtain what your friend's family has. So now you feel inadequate, not realizing that y'all are on two different paths and it's two different educations. And, you know, this is where they're going. You don't know if it was an inheritance from the grandfather. You don't know if they're coming in on old money or new money. As children, we don't know that. And that is the benefit of communication with your children about life and what goes on and what goes into it. So we take those traumas and we carry it on in adulthood. And the minute they want to give you that promotion, you're like, yeah, nah. Because then that means I'm going to have to abandon somebody. That means I'm going to have to neglect something. And I don't want to do that.
It's almost like we overcompensate because we don't want to let someone else down.
Yeah.
And I can relate to that so much because I felt like for most of my life, I always was trying to please someone else to help them with their dream or their journey to get to somewhere that they wanted to be. But I was left in the dust, and yep. I sort of felt that way sometimes. And I know that some of it was probably manufactured because of some of those beliefs or some of those trauma memories that I had. But I think that we often have to look at the bigger picture, too, of how does this intersect with what our reality is of what we're trying to do in the world, if it's a good thing, whether it might be something that needs some fine tuning, especially I know I can get off the tracks real quick too, and yeah. I need to get back on track as well. Yeah. So I think there's so much opportunity yeah. with what you just said that people often don't give themselves the love and grace to be able to do and yeah. start. Juanita, I love the fact that you're an author. I love authors because they have written on a variety of different perspectives. So let me run through the list again for my listeners yes. so that they know. You've written some books that you've co-authored, which include I Am Who God Says I Am, 100 Words of Inspiration, and When a Woman Prays. I always ask when I have somebody that has written multiple books, mm-hmm. which one's your favorite and why?
My favorite one is I Am Who God Says I Am. It was a collaboration of women. We had some men, but they fell off. But what it was is that minds was restored. And so when I was just writing about the traumas and things that I had in my life, I remember saying that I'm restored. It wasn't that I'm a survivor, that I'm living in this. I'm restored completely to what God wanted me to be and to who I am. And there was so many moving stories within that anthology. But I realized how important it was to tell my story because I got so much feedback. People were just crying like, oh my goodness, we didn't know this about you, but you could never tell. You've gone through that. And that let me know that I have to continue on with doing it. Like I am going to be, my book should be out in December because that's been a journey. It's called Beyond Broken, Beyond Healed. Moving past the pain into your destiny. And I've been stuck on a chapter that I had been unable to write for a long time. And when I was finally able to start doing that, God was saying I had not fully forgiven my ex-husband. And it was true. I was still harboring that resentment. So it was amazing that I had accomplished all these things. But the one thing that I couldn't do was because I was still holding on to a point in my marriage and holding on to that hostility toward him. He doing whatever he wants. He's not necessarily successful at it, but it was holding me back from getting this book out. And I'm like, why can't I get it? I've done all this stuff and I've gone through all that healing because I was still harboring resentment towards him. Mm-hmm. So I want your listeners to know that even in our healing process, we can have moved through past certain things, but there's still some things that could be still holding us back because we keep holding on to it. Because a lot of the times, we would rather hold on to the pain instead of letting it go and becoming something new. Because see, we're used to the pain. We know what that feels like. We know what that looked like. We don't know what the new person becomes.
Man, you know? Were you supposed to be on episode 106? Because you definitely have been on episode 106. Because I was literally just thinking about this earlier today, as the day that which we're recording this for my listeners, which now will be several months in the future. But I was just thinking about this because I'm like, yeah, I got a lot of warm, squishy stuff that I need to get out of because I've been so comfortable with it, and a lot of it involves pain. But yeah, I like to go back to it because that's just what I'm attracted to. You're so right. We have that magnetism towards it, but yeah. that's not what we should be living in because that's not allowing us to live in that bigger worldview of what we are trying to create. Right. And so that's what makes this conversation interesting for me, Juanita, is you've done all these things and you've written all these things to help other people out. What pushes you to just keep going? Because anybody that has been through your situation, especially with sexual abuse, would easily say, yep, you're right, world. I got to give up. But you keep pushing forward. It's almost like sometimes I even say to myself, there's something driving me. I don't know what it is. It's something that I can't explain, but it keeps pushing me forward. And I've had a lot of different answers on the show. It was God. It was paganism. There was all kinds of different things that have been expressed. What is it for you, right, when you live through this that you really want people to get out of Juanita that has helped you to become this person that's just going to continue being a powerhouse now and even in the future?
Right. So I'm going to be honest, God is always the top of everything. But the insight that he has given me from my journey is so that someone knows that they can do this. It doesn't matter what it is. Someone's watching you and you don't know it. They're looking at you to see how you come out the situation. They're looking at you to see how you respond. They're looking at you to see how you serve others, even in sometimes the height of the pain. Because I think people realize or think that once you've gone through counseling and once you got through a certain healing, you're never going to be through pain. I'm sorry. Their trauma didn't happen overnight. So the healing isn't going to happen overnight. There's going to be things that re-trigger. And what I say about things that are re-triggering, what that lets you know is that you're still here. You're on the other side. And I would tell somebody, I would rather be on this side of the pain and feel it than it'll be on the other side and not here.
Wow.
Because in feeling it, it lets me know that I'm still here. It lets me know that there's still some more work to do, but it also means somebody else is going through it. So now I can push. I have more of an incentive now to push to find out what is the core of it so that I can get through it a little bit quicker than when we do the initial ones. We did it a couple of years. Now I have more of an incentive to be like, let me call my therapist. Let me get to the root of this now because someone's watching and someone needs this healing now. Because when I was young, and I'm a Gen Xer, we didn't have the access to mental health. We didn't have the access. We didn't talk about this. There was no talking about what was going on in your home. There was no talking about what's going on. We didn't have emotions. They ran commercials that asked the parents, do you know where your children are? Or have you hugged your children today? There was real commercials on television to do this for parents. And so the younger generation, you guys have access to that. And what that does for us, it means we can't dilly-dally and play around when it's time for us to go into the healing mode. Because the younger generation is ready for that healing. They know it's there, and it's time for us to impart our wisdom. So that's what keeps me going. Because if they can see me transparent, healed, and whole, and working through, and even when I don't feel like it sometimes, and they can see me operate that, and they see that I have businesses that are worth $1 million, and I have books that are going out, and I'm speaking in spite of what happened in my past, in spite of the mistakes that I've made, I've still ascended. They're going to know that, you know what, I may have made this one mistake, or I may have had this one thing, I can still go on and continue. I don't have to wallow in the pity of it because I'm seeing how someone has come out.
First off, there's a lot of deep things right there. There's a lot of truth bombs that you just put on the floor and they're not exploding because some people need to take a look at the circuitry and make sure they actually do work before they drop them. But wow, I think you're so right because for many of us, we want to wallow in what has been the past versions of ourselves, but we're not the past anymore. We're in the present and we got to keep moving with time even into the future. And I think that even for me, this is a hard conversation to have in my mindset that I'm having at this very moment because I have to think about the fact that, wow, there are things that I need to transform, and that means an ongoing process of wanting to move that needle forward. Yeah. So, Juanita, with all that said, I have this last question for you because sure, we're almost out of time, and it's something that you had said in your bio that I've already said to the listeners, but I want to read it again. You said this when you submitted this to be part of our show. You said, with global expansion plans for her enterprises, she is poised to continue her inspiring journey, leaving a positive mark on the world. So my question to you is this. Did Juanita leave a positive mark on the world, or is there still more work to be done by Juanita?
Oh, there's still more work.
Hmm.
There's still more work. I want anyone who has gone through anything, I don't care what it is, to be like, you know what? I can make it today. I can have this business. Yeah, I may have created it in trauma, but I can make it a global business and help others with it. I know that I can get through anything because she laid the blueprint, because she was transparent in everything that was going on with her life. She didn't hold back. I still got more to lay out there.
I love it. You got that sass too. Like, what? You think I'm done? No way. And I love that because I think we need to have that push. And especially hearing from someone like you that has continued to push that needle forward is really an important aspect of getting not only the motivation, but also the positive creativity. Even if we're drawing it in our little sketchbooks that get taken away from us, to be able to go back and get a new sketchbook and just keep on drawing. Juanita, I want to give you the last few moments. How can people reach out to you? I know we really didn't dive much into the four businesses overall that you have, but I know there's even more that you're working on. If people are interested in checking out more about you and who you are, where could they reach out? Where can they contact you? I'm going to give you the last few moments to go ahead and share that with our listeners.
Sure. They can reach out to me on my website, which is JuanitaEGaynor.com. You can also reach out to me on all aspects of social media at the hashtag at Juanita E. Gaynor. We're talking Snapchat, YouTube, all of them. If you put that in, you're going to find me on all of the major social media platforms as well. I think my pride and joy is my podcast radio show. It's called Moving Past You. And again, we have these conversations. So you can always go to movingpastyou.com and check that out as well. For most important for me is my coaching. It's the coaching and helping people break these trauma bonds so that they can live their most best life. And we're working on our masterclass, which is called Transform Success Mindset Mastery, Transforming Fear into Fuel for Success. And that is going to be launching probably in the summer. Your listeners, I'll provide a nice little package for them so they can get a nice discount on that, because I feel that sometimes we think fear is bad, and it's not always bad. It's fuel. It's what you build foundations with. It's what you change the world with. Mm-hmm. You don't let it stop you. You let it propel you. So JuanitaEGaynor.com is where you can reach me for everything. And you can see about the different businesses, or even on LinkedIn. I think I have everything linked on LinkedIn. You can find everything on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the hot spot. But yeah, just reach out. If there's questions, want to connect, definitely.
Awesome. I'll put all of that in the episode notes for my listeners. They want to go check it out. And it sounds like there might be a little bit of a special if you mention Speaking from the Heart when you register. You might get a little bit of a discount with that. So thank you, Juanita, for gifting my listeners that as well. But I want to tell you, this has been an eye-opening conversation for me because of what you've been through. But there's something that you said that I never even thought about with my own business that I want to close with, is that we both have something that I never thought we would have in common until tonight, which is we both have trauma businesses, but we don't let the trauma from those businesses or even from our life put us down, make us feel like outcasts, don't make us feel dejected, don't make us feel any sort of negative emotion or energy. Yeah. I think that for all that, you definitely are continuing to build something that I'm impressed by just from looking from a distance. And from a millennial to the Gen Xers out there, I will say this, that we all have something in common. And I think that no matter what your generational difference is, I think you can learn a lot from this conversation. And for all those reasons, Juanita, thanks so much for being on Speaking from the Heart. Thank you for sharing your heart with us today. I was really privileged to hear this along with my listeners as well.
You're so welcome. I appreciate you for having me.
I want to thank Juanita again so much for being part of the show and just sharing so many amazing tidbits for us. Because if you think about it, how we able to grow starts with not just our family, not just with all the things that we're learning to be able to become better as an entrepreneur, but it's about learning new skills. It might be even finding a degree for that matter. You might need to find the structure, the support necessary for you to grow into something that you never thought possible. but it means that you have to keep moving that needle forward. It's something that I've even talked about on a variety of different shows before, not only with just guests, but even some of our monologues, about the importance of understanding and growing into this big accumulating factor. Whatever that means that we impact the world with means that we have to stand behind that structure, that level of commitment, that support that sometimes might not be there when we first start out. I think that we have to learn that we have to grow, not only just with people and their backstory, but we also have to learn that the things that we have, the things that we cherish, whether those are good or bad, help us to formulate the strategy in which we're able to move forward with. And while Nita talked about this so much, about what she does, really dealing with the trauma business, being able to curate events, being able to learn with other women, with other people for that matter, the ability to grow. The question becomes, how are you giving back? Even if it's through one small act, maybe if it's through several businesses like Ronita has with five of them, in order to commit that one absolute truth to help other people. What's holding you back? Why aren't you getting that raise? Why aren't you doing the things that you should be doing? Are you just doing the bare minimum just to carry through life because that's all you have? I think that we often get trapped in this thought process of wanting to always do the same things over and over and over again, thinking that it's going to come up with a different result. The very definition of insanity. But what are some of the good and some of the bad that we can pull from each of those experiences so that we're able to learn and understand? And I think Juanita touched on that quite a lot, about the importance of not only those undertones that we have, but also the ways in which we can correlate, be able to grow into places where we might not be able to grow, but yet overcome at the same time. How do we connect all these things? How do we connect this story, this dream of possibility that we have? Well, I think for some people, getting over your own past, your own emotional and mental traumas, can not only move you from leaving that big impact, but push you out of the way so that you might not be able to succeed. And I would hate, along with probably Ronita for that matter, having that happen to you. What is the best way? It's always that enduring question that we have to ask of how do we overcome? How do we stop ourselves from seeing that sort of situation play out in the first place? I think that many of the books that she's talked about, even the new one that's coming out, Beyond Broken, Beyond Healed, which will be debuting sometime in December of this year, really shows that the process might mean that we have to let go of a little bit of ourselves, those things that really hold us back, to achieve greatness. Healing means letting go of the things that might be not only traumatic and toxic, but relearning, re-educating ourselves in the ways in which we're able to grow, the ways in which we're able to expand our minds, the ways in which sometimes might be a little bit hard for us to just start out with. And I think I understand, even listening to Ronita's story and why she has all these businesses, why it's important for her to keep pushing, to keep moving, to keep seeing, and to keep learning. No matter what stage of life you are in, no matter if people have long forgotten about you or constantly stalking you, which even in itself might be a good thing, sometimes stalking is thought of as a negative thing. But in this context, if you think about the overall picture of seeing what other people are doing, you can make a big difference in your own life. But if people are watching you at the height of your pain and they're not doing anything about it, we need to be able to learn to walk away. We need to be able to hit that block button, which I've done, even myself for that matter, because I know that those people or just looking at me and wanting to strike at the right opportunity because their negativity has overtaken their positivity. Even if I thought that this mindset, this mindfulness, which some people can even challenge as if whether I'm authentic or not, could even challenge Ronita in terms of whether she's authentic or not, means that you are not happy with what we're saying, and maybe it's challenging you. But even at the same time, you can challenge us and we might be wrong too. And that's okay. We're learning and growing all together, which is what I think we continuously miss. How can we feel the things that we need to feel? And how can we hear the things that we need to hear without sacrificing our overall ability to learn and grow? We can wallow in the past all we want. And I know that even with wallowing, it also means that we have to understand that there's some grief. And that's okay to grieve. It's okay to understand that the family that we're growing, the people that we're interacting with, and even the skills that we're developing all go through ebbs and flows of our lives. In other words, the things that we have in terms of structure and support might not be there when it counts the most. So how do we build those opportunities? How do we experiment with all the variety of different things? And unlike other coaches out there that will give you a framework for $99 or work with you for $3,000 to $5,000, whether it's something in between that or maybe it's something that Juanita provides, I want to give you my perspective. Just do it. Huh? That's it? Just do it? Is that all I need to do to be able to achieve this awesome opportunity that I always wanted? I just need to do it? Yes. When you put both feet forward, you know that you're entering into something that you might not be able to succeed. You might fail, but you did it. Are you really going to fail knowing that you did put both feet forward and you pushed that feeling of fear aside, knowing that if you were able to do all the things that you ever thought imaginable and you were successful, that you were able to actually accomplish it, then I think you're finishing what you should have started a long time ago. And that's what I love about Juanita. She's a finisher coach. She wants you to finish the job. She wants you to see yourself be so successful that she wants you to be able to stand on your own two feet as well. Whether you've been abused, whether you've used drugs, whether you had something else that has held you back, stop letting it hold you back today and just do it. I know that seems so simple. I know that it seems so abstract yet at the same time. What am I exactly doing? What am I exactly trying to achieve? This is where purpose is so important. Not just the purpose of what you used to do, but what you're going to do now. You need to be at the height of not just the things that you're achieving, but at the height of overcoming that threshold of pain, so that even when it feels really bad, when it feels really disgusting to walk through, and that the healing process might still be going on even as you go through this overall identity crisis or maybe even that growth spurt that you're experiencing, just know that people like Juanita and people like coaches and people that are just there that genuinely care about you will be right behind you, putting a hand on the back of your shoulder, holding you up, maybe even lifting one of your arms, one of your legs. Because when they're jumping up and down, so are you. And when you're able to do it on your own, you're going to be able to do that with other people too. When you're jumping up and down, you're succeeding. And I want you to finish what you started because it's worth it. Not just for the things that you have been holding back and doing, but that you're able to get away from the trauma and just do it. The emotions, the mental inabilities that you once thought that you couldn't do, stop feeling them today and start doing what your purpose is all about. Thanks for listening to episode number 106 of Speaking from the Heart, and I look forward to hearing from your heart very soon.
Thanks for listening. For more information about our podcast and future shows, search for Speaking from the Heart to subscribe and be notified wherever you listen to your podcasts. Visit us at www.yourspeakingvoice.biz for more information about potential services that can help you create the best version of yourself. See you next time.